John Clayton, nice enough to spend a couple of minutes with us here on Sports 1140. John, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Good, great to talk to you. We're on the verge of the basketball season.
Yeah, totally.
Remember, this is thing called football. That's pretty important.
Yes, it is pretty important. And, you know, Doug being from Seattle, a huge Seahawks fan, and you work up there. So give me, is the biggest issue, well, we know the biggest issue is the offensive line, but is it, you know, last year, same situation, good success in the middle of the year towards the end. Can they do the same thing, or is it just too different of a team right now?
No, it's just like the same pattern. It doesn't change too much. It's almost like the weather patterns here in Seattle. It's like, you know, as you get close to the fall and you get into this November, October and that, it's going to rain and it's going to start getting chillier, but the team on the field starts getting hotter. And so typical type of Seahawks, and this has been the way now since, you know, just even going back to 2012, I mean, they're 11-7 in September and they average 22 points a game. If you look at the way that they finish the season, usually in the last five games, they win 80% of their games and they average 28. And so this is just a typical slow start. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of this around the league because you can see it in the low scoring, is that, you know, when you're trying to put young offenses together with young offensive linemen, you don't have enough time to really practice hard. You don't really get the full hitting that you need. It just takes longer. And that's what seems to be the pattern of this team. The fortunate thing for them is that their defense is so good that it will keep them in games till they get this all fixed. And the schedule is reasonably easy, so they should be fine.
When you look at the NFC West, Grant and I were just talking. Right now, the Rams at 2-1. Is there any way to think that they, not maybe win, but they stay up and there is something in Los Angeles for Rams fans to be excited about?
I'm not there yet.
Not there yet.
Think about the two teams that they scored points on. It was Indianapolis and it was San Francisco.
Okay.
And so, you know, their big problem is still going to be their offense. In fact, you look at the defense hasn't really been able to get together too well. So, no, they played Washington and they had a pretty close game there, but they're not there yet. And so you can't really proclaim them because, again, if you look at the Colts and you look at the 49ers, I mean, you know, these are two teams. Like, when Luck comes back, they'll be better, but Luck's not going to be back at this stage, and Luck wasn't there to play. So in the end, I mean, these two teams are kind of set up for the Rams to do well. The big thing that you can see as far as the improvement, and you can maybe make the argument that at the moment they have a chance to maybe pass Arizona as the number two team in the division, is that they've added so much on offense. In fact, their offensive changes, getting, you know, Robert Woods at wide receiver, Cooper Kupp at wide receiver, getting Sammy Watkins at wide receiver, mm-hmm. a couple young tight ends, and then you throw into the mix that they got Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. I mean, that's some of the best moves in football right now on offense, and so that's caused the improvement. But it's still too early to proclaim that they're the best team in the division.
We're talking with John Clayton right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. John, I don't like to make too much out of one game, but what we saw Sunday night, Washington looked like the best team in the NFL, and the Raiders looked like the worst team. I don't recall a one-sided game quite like that in a while, especially when we're talking about a supposedly good team with the Raiders. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, see, the thing that kind of baffled me a little bit with the Raiders is that I was at the last preseason game and was working their sidelines. And I looked at the defense, and I didn't know if it was going to be there. And yet they come out, they hold Tennessee to 16 points in Nashville. Pretty good job. They had a great game in week two. And so the defense, maybe it was miraged in the sense that it's not as, you know, I don't really think it's going to be that good. And so to win, this team pretty much has to outscore. And I just think, you know, flat out, they just had a bad game. I mean, Amari Cooper's had too many drops in the first couple of weeks. You know, Derek Carr, who's been great, just had an off game. So I wouldn't read too much more into it. I mean, what you can see that the AFC West, particularly the top three teams, it's right now the best division in football because you've got, you know, for the most part, two teams with good defenses, Kansas City and Denver. You've got a great offense with one exception of one game with the Raiders. And so I think it's going to be very competitive. The thing to kind of watch right now is how do the Raiders match up against physical teams? Because you can see Andy Reid has designed his team to be physical with the offensive line, physical on defense, and it's been able to get the best of the Raiders. If the Raiders can start beating the Chiefs, then everything should be fine. But overall, this is going to be a great race in this division, and I just kind of write off the offensive problems on Sunday. It's just an off game.
Okay, so the offensive line of the Raiders, which is arguably one of the best in football, got absolutely manhandled for four quarters. You just attribute that? Is that, you just thinking it's just one of those games then for that group of five?
Yeah, I think it's one of those games because look how they did in the first 2 weeks. They look really good. And so I think that, you know, just kind of hit hit the skids in week three. And, I mean, this team's too talented on the offensive line. I mean, what the heck? They've got $42 million a year tied up in four offensive linemen. And they're all good. They're all Pro Bowl quality type guys. And so I think, you know, you kind of shake that off and say, you know, Washington, because, you know, Washington's kind of a sneaky team. You know, I know coming out of training camp, I thought that they were going to be, you know, one of the, you know, real surprise teams. You know, not that they were too bad of a surprise because they've got good talent, but they're sneaky good on defense, sneaky good. And I think that sneaky good defense did a number on the Raiders pretty obviously on Sunday.
John, in a similar situation, a great offensive line in Dallas hasn't really produced at the level I think people might have thought, which has hampered Ezekiel Elliott's running ability. Last night they get a W. Do you think that this is a trend that will continue in Dallas, or is this just an anomaly?
I mean, honestly, I didn't think their offensive line this year was going to be as good as it was in the last couple of years. And the reason is there's change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know. I like Lalo Collins, but I don't know how good he is right now at right tackle. I think he was really good at guard. So that's still a transition because, remember, Doug Free retired. Then they lose Ron Leary and Chaz Green. I mean, the only thing that you can say positive, this is the first three-game stretch where he hasn't been hurt. I mean, he's been hurt most of the last couple of years, and they have Jonathan Cooper, the, you know, high draft choice failure behind him. But, you know, it's not as talented, but they've got three great offensive linemen. And when those offensive linemen, you know, get into good sync, then they do well. And I think they did okay last night, but you're right. It's not played up to the level. And I don't know if it's going to be at the level it's been the last couple of years. It's still one of the best. In fact, when you're talking Oakland, you're talking Dallas, they're two of the best lines in football. And really, in a league right now where you may only have eight really good offensive lines.
John, the situation with Odell Beckham in New York, all right, he's in his fourth year now, and, you know, John Mara comes out and will deal with it internally. Well, they've tried to deal with it for 4 years. Yeah, he's talented, but it's not like the Giants are winning with him. How do you think this thing plays out?
Well, I think what it plays out is finances, because he's now heading toward a negotiation in his contract, and if he's going to do knucklehead type of things, then they're just going to franchise him and try to go year by year with him. I mean, you know, he's got to show some growing up because, I mean, the things that he does, I mean, not that they're illegal, which is fortunate, but they hurt the team. And when you get a penalty for making a stupid celebration like that and you get a 15-yarder tack, you know, a 15-yarder that gave field position to the opponent, can't keep doing this stuff. I mean, he's done it now too many times, too many battles with Josh Norman, and he's got to start growing up because if not, they're going to – because he's at the stage for talent. I mean, he's going to break the absolute bank for wide receivers. Right now it's 17, and clearly for talent, he can get more than $17 million a year. But they may just put the brakes on if he continues like this and just say, hey, we're going to franchise you for the next couple of years, and you're not going to make 17.
John, how surprised are you at the Bengals at 0-3? Marvin Lewis, don't know if this is obviously a contract year. Andy Dalton now, all this quarterback controversy. How surprised are you that they're sitting at 0-3?
I'm not surprised that they dropped back, but not to this degree. You know, last year they let Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones go at wide receiver, and they go from 26 points a game on offense to 18. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, throw into the fact that you include Tyler Eifert, their tight end, having injuries most of the season, and that's carried over this year. So you take three of the top four pass catchers away from Andy Dalton, that's going to hurt. Then you take two offensive linemen, the best two offensive linemen, Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, away from the offensive line and have two tackles from 2015 that are horrible. You can see where the decline is. I mean, they're breaking Andy Dalton, and consequently, they're breaking that team on offense. And because of the fact that the defense hasn't stepped up yet, I mean, 0-3 was something I never envisioned, but I definitely saw problems when you take four quality players out of an offense in a two-year period and have Tyler Eifert on the sidelines injured.
John, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much. Be well.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate
you. Good stuff, John Clayton. And